There was a rich man who had a steward, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give me account of your stewardship, because you cannot be my steward any longer." Then the steward said to himself, "What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as steward, people may welcome me into their homes." So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil." And he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat." And he said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest steward because he had acted shrewdly. People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. When we first hear this parable, it seems a bit confounding. For those of us who have been taught Jesus' parables in the past, there are some parables that we feel like we understand. There are some that we know how to make sense of. They are parables whose message is, at this point at least, seemingly clear and easy enough for us to tease out. We know how to hear God speaking through them. We know the messages that God has therein. This parable, however, is one that immediately strikes us as bizarre and problematic when we read it or hear it. We are used to Jesus' parables having characters that are either clearly models to follow, good moral examples and models to follow, or characters that are supposed to be cautionary tales, examples to avoid. In this parable, we aren't sure what to make of the characters. Their actions and their arcs as characters seem to defy simple categorization. The steward in the parable begins by reportedly being a squanderer. He is in charge of managing his master's wealth, and he is accused of squandering his master's property. The word squander here is the same word used for the actions of the prodigal son. The prodigal son who asked for his inheritance before his father had passed away and then took his inheritance and squandered it on unrighteous living. So when we hear that this steward is squandering resources, we are predisposed to think that he will be the character in the story that will be the cautionary tale. We suspect that Jesus is setting us up for a message like, "Don't be like this bad steward." That assumption seems to be confirmed in the next section of the parable. For when the steward learns that he is about to be fired by his master, he then goes and he abuses his position and seems to further squander his master's wealth. The steward concocts a scheme to try and ingratiate himself, to get on the good side of his master's clients. He is hoping that by doing so, he'll build good relationships with his master's business partners, and that will help ensure his future after he's canned. The steward takes advantage of his position. He cuts the debts owed to his master, slashing the debts, closing them out, and returning only a portion of what was owed to his master's treasury. What we seem to have in this parable is a squandering steward who has now become dishonest as well. And when the master learns of what his squandering steward has done, our expectations are that the master will be furious. We expect that he will not only fire the steward as previously planned, but perhaps the master will do more. Perhaps he'll also have him thrown in prison, or at least he'll speak some curses over the steward. Instead, strangely, In a twist that seems to defy everything we would have expected, the master is not upset, but he commends the dishonest steward. And the parable ends. This turn in the parable takes us off guard. It makes us scratch our heads and wonder if perhaps Jesus misspoke a little bit, or something got left out of the translation, or perhaps Luke, when he was compiling his gospel, got something wrong. In reality, this sudden twist, this turn in the story, is not strange at all when compared to Jesus' other parables. The parables are full of unexpected twists and turns, and it is in those twists, precisely in the twists, in the way the parables upset our expectations, that we learn the radical and important lessons about the God that Jesus came to reveal. The parables teach us unexpected lessons that correct our wrongful assumptions and misunderstandings. Misunderstandings about God and our assumptions about God's values and God's ways. Our expectations are challenged by Jesus' parables. We assume that the master in this parable is a conventional, rich, wealthy person, until the twist at the end forces us to examine those assumptions. If we take the master's actions as true or demonstrating something of the core of his heart and his values, then we learn something surprising and strange about the master and perhaps about God and God's priorities. And we can learn something about what it means for us to be stewards of the resources that God has put in our charge. The master in this story is strange. The master in the parable cares about his property. That seems clear. He cares that his resources, his assets, which are in the care of the steward, the master cares that those resources are not squandered. But we have to ask of this character and this parable, what does it mean? What does it mean to the master to not squander his resources? According to the conclusion of the parable, when the steward uses the master's resources, the debts that are owed him, when the steward closes out those debts and shows mercy in an attempt to build good relationships, the master is not upset, but he is pleased. We have to therefore assume that what the master values, what pleases him, what makes him happy and glad, is when his resources are being employed to close out debts and build relationships. This message, this idea, squares with the image of the God that the Bible teaches and that Jesus' own life revealed. Scripture teaches us that God is like a wealthy master. Everything ultimately belongs to God. God rightly has a claim on all of the possessions, all of the things in this world, because everything came from God's creative activity. All the gold and the money and the fields and the crops and the harvests. God claims all of the real estate in this world. Everything that we have, everything that we are, Scripture shows us and tells us that it comes from God and ultimately belongs to God. In a sense, God is wealthy. But what Scripture and Christ reveal is that God uses God's great wealth and treasury of resources. God uses what God has not simply to retain that wealth or to grow that wealth, but God uses and expends and employs God's great riches for the sake of closing debts and building relationships. This is the message of the gospel, that Christ came emptying himself. He came giving up the position of wealth and status that he had. He came to earth to cancel debts, the debts that we carried, the debts that we owed to God due to our sins and our shortcomings. Christ came, emptying himself of his divine privileges and heavenly prestige in order to close our debts and to fix and heal our broken relationship with God. In the beginning of the parable, we hear that the steward is squandering the master's wealth. Looking at this passage with worldly eyes, we assume that this means that the steward wasn't investing the master's cash in the right stocks. We assume that the master is a conventional rich person, and what do rich people want with their money? We assume that this rich person would want his money to become more money. We assume that the master wants his money and his wealth to grow and to grow and to grow. What else is the purpose of wealth and money? In reality, from the point of view of the master in the parable, it seems that his resources are squandered when they aren't being used in ways that close debts and build relationships. The steward is therefore squandering the master's wealth, perhaps by sitting on his money, or allowing the money and the debts to simply collect interest, or investing the money in attempts to grow wealth while not helping to bring about the resolution of debts and the improvement of relationships. The steward accidentally becomes commendable in the eyes of his unexpectedly generous master when the steward happens, albeit in a dishonest fashion, upon a scheme that employs the master's resources in a way that accomplishes the goal at the heart of the master. The message of Jesus' parable, this message from God, is instructive for us. We are stewards of God's resources. God has put us in charge of wealth. We have resources at our disposal and in our care. We have our lives, our bodies, our abilities to walk and talk, to love and to care. We have our intellectual gifts, our abilities to think and to organize, to plan and to solve problems. We have our spiritual gifts, our gifts for teaching and praying, for sharing the good news, for showing love and kindness and support. We have the resources that are our homes, our purses, our wallets, our bank accounts, our investments, our checkbooks. We have this church and the resources that are a sanctuary, a schoolhouse, church offices, a fellowship hall, classrooms, conference rooms, and all of this church campus. We are stewards of God's resources. And every moment of every day, God calls us to ask ourselves if we are being good stewards of our master's property. And what does it mean for us to be good stewards? What does it mean for us to be good with our resources? What does it mean from God's perspective to be good with money? Right? We hear people talking about people who are good with money. How would God define being good with money? The answer, in part, lies in the unexpected twist of this parable. To be a good steward means not to squander what God has given to our care by simply sitting on it, but instead to employ what God has given to us, to put the resources that we have to use in extravagant ways in efforts to help free others of their debt, to help them know that their sins are forgiven, to let them know that they are at peace with God, that because of what Christ has given and accomplished on the cross and on Easter morning, that they are clear and free and their debts are forgiven and their burdens are gone. What does it mean for us to be good stewards of God and God's resources? It is to use the resources that we have, that God has given to us, to bring about the knowledge and the reality of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has given in the sharing of the good news, to bring about the healing and the repair of broken relationships, to do what we can with the resources we have to help bring about the knowledge that the relationship between heaven and earth has been healed, that the relationship between God and God's beloved creation has been bridged, and that the relationship between God's, our loving God, and God's imperfect but beloved people here on earth has been prepared. May God give us wisdom and strength and encouragement as we seek to be good with money and to be God's good stewards. Amen.